What's up, party people? How you doing? All right, so today is, well, really, right now it's Palm Sunday, actually. So it's a, officially it's Sunday. But this is our fourth Insomniac Insight, our fourth night of just hanging out together in the late evening. And I'm wondering how you're doing out there. That seems to be the common phrase right now. How you doing? People are texting now and then. How are you doing? Facebook statuses. How you doing? And I often want to say, well, our whole life and infrastructure of what we do is completely falling apart. So we're doing like that. How are you doing? But God's good, so we're doing all right. I will say this though, tonight I went to because officially, you know, we can begin Sunday, you know, vigil mass, you know, on Saturday night about 4 or something, and I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll have like a vodka tonic tonight, you know. That drink always reminds me of my grandmother. And I had this cheap bottle of tonic that I had bought, and I had never opened it. And I had some old vodka, whatever. It doesn't matter. But when I opened the tonic, it exploded literally all over my desk, all over the floor. And then I began to really reconsider that drink, because it seemed like that drink wanted to kill me. And I'm like, right now I'm just leaning on my desk and my elbows are sticky now because that's the tonic water's everywhere. So basically, this is why drinking just doesn't work for me. I mean, I think it's just too messy. All right, so I have something to say to you tonight, and I know this is going to seem weird. This is a little bit of a confession. We're using up what we have in the fridge and the freezer. I mean, we're finding things in the freezer that probably should not have been found. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're digging deep. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're digging deep, and so, yeah, I mean, is it possible squirrel could be in our dinner in the future? I suppose it's possible, but not tonight. And anyway, long story short, tonight after we ate and the kids were in bed, finally, we're watching a gentle show, you know, a show that really has a lot of amazing acting, Twin Peaks, season 2, episode 1. Again, immediately they're crying. The synthesizer is hardcore. I mean, we're Linda and I are going crazy, and so she says to me, "Do you think you have anything stashed away in your office?" And I knew what she meant. She wanted to know, did I have any sugar, any sweets, any candy? Because that does happen occasionally when I travel. I'll bring home some snacks. You know, maybe it was in a little basket, something in the hotel room, whatever. I'll bring home some candies and I'll just kind of put them around my office. So if you look behind me, all these shelves, they're all over the whole office. I'll just stash the candy there, okay? And so I thought, well, maybe in my bag there's something left, because I'm pretty sure I've depleted whatever might be on the shelves. Plus my daughter, Ella, who's my little queen here, if she wants something, I'm going to get it for her, you know, and if she's desperate for like a little sweet, some sort of dessert, she's going to be the one who gets it. My wife's really super disciplined when it comes to desserts, so she doesn't do that very often. So, of course, I want to, you know, try to bless my wife. And so I'm digging in my bag, my computer bag, and I pulled out like 3 mints from like an American Airways club that I have probably been in there, don't even tell her this, but probably been in there for about a year and a half. And then some crushed mint that was like a chocolate, like thin mint kind of deal. I literally brought out this stash and a taffy, like a little square toffee, however you pronounce it, from Australia, from January. We're in April, so I'm sure that was great. And I just placed this pittance of sweets, you know, on her, right next to her, where she was sitting on the couch. And I thought, we found rock bottom. We're there right now. We've literally found it. Tomorrow we're going out shopping. That's what's going to happen. We're going to get some quality alcohol, quality vodka, and quality tonic. No more of this. Let's explode and make everything sticky all over your desk. Tonic. No, none of that. Real tonic. And then I'm going to buy some candy for my wife that I can stash in here. So when she desires that, it happens. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we're in a crisis mode right now, people. Forget toilet paper. No, who really ultimately needs toilet paper? We got a number of socks left over in our laundry basket that is missing the set. So we can always use that. But when it comes to candy, there's no way you can soften that blow of not having a sweet around, right? You know, here's a vegetable. No, that's not going to work. You need a real quality sugar fix. And I failed a little bit tonight. I mean, I don't think she would look at it like that because Linda's, she's pretty good. But, you know, tonic water shouldn't make you sticky. I agree with you, Angela. So I don't know what the hell I had. But obviously, it was angry. Here it is. Yeah, Wegmans tonic. I hold the bottle and it's sticky. The bottle's literally sticky because it exploded all over the place. And, you know, this isn't diet tonic water. So maybe that's the reality, is that I got the high calorie tonic water. Laura Bright, Laura, I just want you to know I appreciate you putting up that video tonight of the guy laying the tile down, you know, and by that guy, I mean, of course, me. What I wanted to talk to you about something tonight. One was the sweet thing, you know, not having the appropriate amount of sweets in your house during a pandemic. But the second thing is that today was kind of a cool day. My daughter came up from North Carolina. Her husband is in the Marines, and he is to be deployed. And I've been nervous about this, to be real honest, completely blunt here. You know, she's moving up here for a number of months with the baby just because he's supposed to be deployed. They don't know when he'll go out. And so, of course, we're excited. I'm excited that they're here, right? But, of course, I'm a nervous wreck because, you know, I feel like I need to quarantine myself for like 2 weeks just to make sure everybody's healthy. But everybody is loving on that baby. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's smooching the baby, holding the baby. Like, I just feel like there's no way. We're all doomed. If it's here, it's here. It's scary, though. So I hope everybody out there is being safe and staying home as much as you can and avoiding any problems. I really haven't left the house now for quite a while. And but there's no way I can say no to my family. So, you know what I'm saying. Josh, I'm glad that you have bourbon, too. Thanks for rubbing that in my face now. And I don't have any bourbon here. So... yeah, no big deal. Whatever. Hey, you know what? Go ahead and drink your bourbon tonight, Josh, and I hope you enjoy it. Just think you could be here and enjoying the sticky desk here. It's literally, you can hear my skin coming off of the desk. It's so sticky here. So, I hate it, is what I'm saying. Jennifer, it's good to see you here tonight. You're obviously an insomniac. This is like the third or fourth time in a row I've seen you here. Mary Poirier, I love your husband. I think you know that already. I mean, his ministry is amazing. So, I love listening to him play the guitar and just pray. Pretty beautiful stuff. So, anyway, tonight, here's what I was going to talk about. So, of course, we watched an episode of Twin Peaks, because why not? It just literally causes me so much anxiety, and I think it's possible that we'll continue to watch Twin Peaks even after we finish it all, just because the amount of synth music, it's created, like, I'm an addict now for synthesizer music. So, it's either you know, listen to, like, Depeche Mode and you know, The Cure, or I continue to watch on repeat Twin Peaks. But here's a show that I love watching that is, Linda can't even watch it. It causes her so much anxiety. And it is the show Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but Curb Your Enthusiasm is Larry David, who's, of course, part of the Seinfeld, you know, show. And he is George Costanza. And Larry David is so neurotic and out of control that every episode you feel like you're going to have a panic attack. Basically, because he puts himself into such a predicament that you're like, I can't even watch this. It's like a train wreck. And, but I love it. I have to be honest. seriously, it's, what is it? 2 a.m. and I'm trying to pronounce enthusiasm. Curb Your Enthusiasm. George Costanza. My gosh, what the crap. Anyway, so I watched that show tonight. I watched an episode of that, and I always love it. It's pretty awesome. Did you know that his manager is the father in the Goldbergs? So, pretty cool. Yeah. Long story short, a couple little updates, small updates, not a big deal. One is, I have 2 books coming out, I think, soon. First is a book I did on Stanza. It's just George Stanza? I thought it was Costanza. Is it Costanza or Stanza? Here's the problem. And the reason I'm doing this is a problem for me is I live in Constantia. So every time I think of George Costanza, yeah. Anyway, forgive me. Who cares? Nobody cares anymore. All right, so let's see. A couple things I wanted to update you on. One is I have a book coming out on... I got the rights to a book I did that Life Teen published called The Mystery of Joy. And that was really kind of a cool book I wrote. And it followed the flow of the rosary. So Life Teen did that and used that for about 1.5 or 2 years. And then they gave me back the rights, so I was able to do with it what I wanted, and I just released that. So Mystery of Joy is available now online. And then I about 1 year ago defended my thesis for what's called a licentiate. So in terms of degrees, you can get what's called like a doctorate, traditional PhD route, or you can go the pontifical route, which is like a licentiate, STL, or a doctorate of sacred theology, which, believe it or not, the initials are STD. So I got my licentiate last year in Marian Studies, and I wrote my paper on Father Juniper Carroll. And so we're going to make that available to people who would be interested in reading that. And it's just called The Life and Mariology of Father Juniper Carroll. And I'm hoping that'll be out in about 1 month. And then the other book I did is called Keep Your Head Down and Your Faith Up. And that is done. We're editing. Linda and I are kind of going through that. And then we send it to our official editor. And she kind of goes through it. And then we put it out. So I don't know. About 1 month again for that. So we're busy. And we're working. I'm doing a lot of this on no sleep, so that's okay for me. But because when you have multiple eyes looking at something you're doing, it's okay if you're an insomniac. That's all I'm going to say. So The other thing that's come up lately has been music. Some people have been asking and wondering if I'd be interested in getting back into the music flow, and usually the answer for that is an immediate no. And the reason it's a no is that I don't know what happened about a year or two ago, maybe even more now. My voice has been shot, and it's kind of hard to talk about. It's not really a positive thing for me. I don't know what, but it blew. And I don't know if it was because of the open heart surgery I had a couple years ago, where they, you know, they intubate you and it can scrape your throat on the way out with the tube, and or if it's because I drink a lot of coffee. But I don't even have a vocal ability anymore. So, you know, I can kind of pray out, something, almost whisper out a little bit of a prayer song, which is great at the end of a presentation, no big deal. But the whole idea of recording a project or a CD again has just been almost, you know, out of the question for me. So at least at this time, I'm not planning on any music. So, we'll see. Comedy show idea Valerie is wondering about. Constanza, everybody's really concerned about me. Thank you for that. George Constanza. Yeah. Again, I think it had to do with, I live in Constantia, and I just got done watching Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the Constanza character was based on Larry David, so, you know, the brain isn't working right tonight, apparently. But I loved Seinfeld. Comedy show. So the comedy show thing is really a possibility for me. I am working on that. I'll tell you what the holdup and the hangup is for me, is that doing this without an audience is almost impossible. Like, what I do, a lot of what I do is dependent on how the audience is flowing with me. So I don't know what the deal is, but I kind of feel like I have an ability to kind of vibe with the audience. So if they're all in, I'm all with them. I know kind of where they're going. I know what jokes are working. And if I don't, I tweak it. I modify it as we go so I can flow with the group, right? But when you have an audience that you're not able to see, you can't hear any of the responses. It's hard to know if it's working. And so I'm thinking a lot about the comedy thing. And if I did that, I would just use some staple stories that I know always seem to work. But again, this is a whole different medium, so I'm not sure how that'll translate when it comes to an online comedy show. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I got some good friends out there, and yeah, I mean, part of the problem too is, as Mark is mentioning, I think I need sometimes the hecklers. You know, that kid in the audience that looks like he could care less, wants to be somewhere else. But you know, it's like it makes me strive. Like, bam, I gotta go after that kid and make sure that they have a great time. So, cool question. So Sarah asked, how much did the ink on your hand hurt? And not so much. Linda was getting a tattoo that day, and so rather than sit there and not do anything, I decided to get a couple tattoos myself. I think that day I got the Norwal, which I don't know if you can see that, but the Norwal was done the same day Linda was getting a tattoo done. And then when the guy was done with Linda doing the tattoo, I had him do the one on my hand. That's probably the last tattoo that I got from my main guy in Pittsburgh. His name's Joe Bruce. But Linda and I, on our 25th anniversary, went to San Francisco, and we went to Ed Hardy's tattoo shop. And so that was cool. And we each got a tattoo, the same tattoo. And it was, it's like a sugar skull, a little mini skull that says, "Till death do us part." You know, till death. So we got that. And each of us have that from the same place. But the hand tattoo was not a problem. The one that hurt maybe the most for me was, it was on the inner part of my arm here. And the closer it gets to your armpit, the more it kind of feel, you can feel that. So, anyway, our family would be willing to record laugh track. Valerie, that's a great idea. And weird. The Norwal was awesome. The Norwal is kind of like what's traditionally known as almost like a prison tattoo, like a stick and poke. And what they do is they have a single needle, and that tattoo was done with somebody just kind of jabbing it into the ink and then putting it into my skin. And that's the only tattoo I've ever had like that. So it was kind of cool. It was a cool experience, actually. So anyway, thanks. Thanks for your encouragement, Sison, forgive me for pronouncing that wrong. I got some of my good friends from the Philippines here tonight, it looks like, and some friends from Denver and South Dakota and yeah, Florida, of course. And yeah, I appreciate you guys being here. Hey, so long and the short of it was, I wanted to do a little rant and be silly and stupid tonight, but I also wanted to turn the corner and just talk about tomorrow, which is ultimately Palm Sunday. And as we get ready for our last week here of Lent, many of you are exhausted. I mean, I feel like the meme that's been going around, right, is that this is the lentiest Lent that we've ever Lented. And I 100% agree. You know, we're all done with Lent. And but this is it. You know, we're kind of honing in, and we're going towards the finish line. And so it's going to be a hardcore week. It's going to be a beautiful week. And tomorrow, of course, Palm Sunday, which has the longest readings in the history of mankind, it seems like. And my joke has always been, of course, add the longest readings with giving every single small child a palm frond so that they can poke each other's eyes out and cause complete mayhem in the pew. Now, obviously, nobody's home, or rather, nobody's going to church. We're all at home, and nobody's getting the palm fronds handed out as a general rule because nobody's going to church. So I had made this joke, like, parents are now, you know, required to try to find some other sharp object that they can threaten one another's siblings with during this Palm Sunday online mass. But what was kind of cool today is that we got a little note from our priest that basically said, we'd like to have a couple of your kids come and do altar serving for the mass that will be basically broadcast. And I thought, how beautiful is that, that a couple of my boys get to go altar serve? We're not going to be able to go. We're not going to be able to receive the Eucharist, which is like truly in 21 years of being Catholic, this has never happened. I've never gone I've never gone a Sunday without going to Mass. And I can't even imagine not going to Mass on Easter Sunday, you know. And I think most of you out there can relate to that. But the fact that two of my boys are going to get a chance to go and altar serve a televised Mass is a miracle. Now, we won't be able to go because there'll be too many people in the parish. You'll have like a deacon or something and the priest and the couple altar servers and the person doing the music and broadcasting. You can't have more than 10 people in the whole parish. And even then, it has to be a sense of distancing. So in a way, to me as a father, like, there's this awesome feeling of knowing that at least my sons are going to go, at least two of them are going to go and receive Jesus during Easter Sunday. Like, this is such a weird time that we're living in. It's so insane right now. And, you know, I mean, I like ranting and being silly and stupid, but my heartbeat is for my faith and knowing that that we're not going to be there for Easter Sunday is just kind of beating us up a little bit. So, and I think a lot of you can relate to that, too. Maybe for some of you, it's like, oh, no big deal. You know, it's just... doesn't really matter where we are. We don't have to be in the building. And I get that. That's fine. Okay. But there is something about entering into, you know, Mass as a spiritual family and receiving the intimacy of our God and the Eucharist. And we are Eucharistic people, right? Body, blood, soul, divinity. We are Eucharistic people. Eucharist meaning thanksgiving. And, man, I love being Catholic, and I love the way that it connects with our, you know, our brokenness and our messiness and our struggles, and that we can unite all of that with our Lord. And for many of us this week, it's going to be a tough week. We're going to be able to relate really well with Jesus during the Triduum and the struggle, Good Friday, you know, Holy Saturday, but that Easter Sunday is going to be hard for a lot of people, just knowing that we're not going to be able to gather together as a people and rejoice and celebrate. But Jesus is with us, and so I think there's something to hold on to with that. For people who are people of faith, just knowing that this is right the last kind of few miles of that big marathon we've been running for Lent. So my prayers and my encouragement is with all of you as you journey towards not just the cross but the resurrection this week. I guess that's kind of it. I've been a little tired today, you know. Again, my daughter arrived and my grandson, Caswell. So we have a few more people in the house, which we're excited about. And they brought their bulldog. And so now we have two English bulldogs in our house. We have Hagrid, my dog, and then their dog, basically Titus is his name. But they call him Squishy, basically. And these two dogs are hilarious because they look depressed. They fart all the time, and I literally, my daughter's dog just urinated on my surround sound speaker tonight. So, let me repeat. My daughter's dog urinated on my surround sound speaker tonight. Okay, did you hear me? My daughter's dog urinated on my surround sound speaker tonight. I'm really trying to come to grips with her dog peeing on my speaker. I mean, who does that? Who pees on a surround sound speaker? Nobody. But her dog peed on my speaker. It's going to be tough. If this dog thinks it's going to cock its leg and start peeing all over my house, I'm about to mark my territory. Do you know what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm throwing down? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this morning, my wife, she woke up. She gets up before I do. And she went out and noticed that we had a couple goats out of their pen. Which, by the way, the two goats that were out have never been free before. So we were a little bit worried, like what happens when goats get out who've never been given the gift of freedom. These two goats got out and they did not escape. You know, they didn't go into neighbors. I'm telling you right now, we're getting to the point of, you know, The Walking Dead, where people are starting to look around to see if there's any food to eat. And I'm afraid that when they see my goats walking around freely, they're going to think dinner. So we got the goats put back in place, but it just made us realize we're going to have to probably be a little bit more careful because free-range goats might not be a great idea in this time. So, bada-boom, shakalaka. I'm just looking to see what the comments are. Watching from the Philippines. I love you guys out there. Claw, why are you up, man? Do you ever sleep? No, you're kind of like I am. So, did you know what? Noah had some of these. So you know what's interesting is that I just read a little bit of an article tonight on Facebook about peroxide, and peroxide being such an important liquid for cleaning. And for disinfecting and for obviously for helping out with any type of infections or possible, you know, infections in your with cuts. And so I think I'm going to go bulk up on some peroxide. It's an electronic tree. I don't even know what you're talking about there, Josh. So goats are tasty. Here's the thing about that. Goat can be disgusting depending on when you butcher the goat. So if you have a male goat who's intact, are you picking up what I'm throwing down? Once they reach puberty, it's horrible. There, you can still smell male goat when you eat a male goat. Forget it. So if you're going to eat a goat, you want it to be weathered, which means it's deballed basically, or it's going to be young. Now, there's a lot of people, actually goats the most like eaten meat in the world. And there are a lot of people who will eat goats. In fact, I think people who are Muslim will only eat male goats. They won't eat a female goat because a female goat can have a baby. So they'll only eat the male goats, which I find to be extra disgusting. just because the smell of a goat is probably the most distinct smell of all farm animals. I mean, it's repulsive. And goats are disgusting. Goats will urinate in their mouth. They will basically, they're repulsive. You think of it, a goat will do it. They'll eat anything. They'll hump anything. They're disgusting. To me, it's not a surprise when you look at the Last Judgment, the sheep and the goats, that the goats are the ones going to hell because they're repulsive. That's all I'm going to say. So if you're going to eat a goat, I would say you want to eat it when they're young or when they're weathered. So otherwise, I can't even imagine eating that kind of a goat. Even a weathered goat has a very distinct taste to it. But some people don't like lamb. They think lamb has a very distinct taste that they're not keen on. We have a couple lambs and sheep, rather. They're old enough. They're sheeps. We want to get them pregnant, and then we'll have their little babies, and we'll probably eat their babies. So there you go. That should just gross you out completely tonight. What else? We moved all the chickens to the new chicken coop, and they're growing. We have about 4 to 6 turkeys and some guinea hens and then a whole bunch of baby chicks. So we still have 4 chickens left over from winter. They survived. They did well. They're still laying. So they get a free range. They get to do what they want. They're the bosses. But the new group coming up, they're all kind of reserved, separated into the chicken coop right now. So we got sheep, we got goats, we got chickens, we got some turkeys and guinea hens. And then I got a pond on my property that will occasionally collect some geese and some ducks. So we'll see. And we have a potbelly pig, but I don't think we'll ever eat that little pig. She's kind of a pet. So anyway. Hey, look, it's a night. I'm going to probably go read for a little bit and make my way up. I've been praying the rosary at night as I go to sleep. That's kind of my thing. It's been the sorrowful mysteries for me. Usually when I go to bed, that's what I'll pray. And I'll remember you guys tonight in prayer. I hope you're having a great time. Hey, thanks for everybody who tunes into this. I know it's not necessarily super rich in terms of content and it's late, and I'm exhausted, and I don't sleep a lot, so I didn't remember George Costanza. I still can't pronounce it. Costanza. I still can't get this stupid name right, I feel like. And I swear to you, I'm not drunk. I just can't pronounce his stupid name. I can't. George Costanza. That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, my gosh. I'm embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. Anyway, so I hope you're well. There's some great people I just want to recognize tonight, if that's okay. First of all, Sarah Cook, I want to thank you for your support, your encouragement. I love Sarah. I've known her since she was a young teen in South Carolina, and she's been such a blessing in our life. We love her. Great friend. Jennifer, it's great to see you from South Dakota. I consider you to be a great friend. You have stories about me that I'm not sure I want anyone to know. Mark Evard, I love you to death. Your family is beautiful. You're a great friend. And for all the people I've gotten to know over the years who tune in regularly, Candace, who's been a student of mine for numerous years, and Valerie, who's tuned in to a lot of the stuff that we're doing. I really appreciate you guys and your support. Amy Rubio and Josh Foltz. Thank you guys. So everybody who spends a little time with me at night, I hope and pray that you have a great night's rest and that you can find joy this week as we journey towards the cross. I mean, it's probable I'll be on here tomorrow night just because I don't sleep, and it's good to hang out with good friends. So, but if for some reason a night comes and I'm not here, it means that I'm probably sleepy enough that I'm going to actually go and get some rest. Now I'm feeling it now. I'm about ready to yawn. That means it's a good time for me to head to bed. There's still a picture of you and my teenage. Oh my gosh, how cute is that? Yeah. All right, Captain Tennille, Sonny and Cher. I hope you guys have a great night. I'll talk to you probably tomorrow. All right. God bless.